called the topic of the shiur today, bells, elevators, and escalators, and more, if you get to the more. So we'll start with bells. So the first thing we're going to say is that anything electronic is obviously also to use in Shabbos. The good question why. Chazanish holds that using electricity on Shabbos, activating a circuit is considered boiner. You had a dead circuit, you have wires that are lying in place, but no current runs through it, and when you close the circuit, you're enabling now the current to flow, that's considered boiner, and if you break the current, that's considered a soiser. This opinion of the Chazanish is contested quite heavily, and it's usually treated as an extra shitter, which we try to be choshish for, which means that in certain circumstances, we're going to be mako if this is the only issue. The other issue with electricity is when you're dealing with a light bulb or a heater, the moment you get a glowing filament, so then you have a problem of H. So from fire, we paskin that glowing metal is also an isser of havara. But that means only if there's a glowing filament. If you have a fluorescent tube or you have a LED light, there's no glowing filament. Or in a motor that turns, there's no filament inside. It's just stuff that causes its electromagnets. So with that in mind, we're still going to say, even if you can't find the exact reason, whether it holds boiner or havara, or maybe it's just a derabanan, but essentially, the halacha is that we do not use electricity on Shabbos. We do not activate electricity on Shabbos. We don't use it. Your lights are on. But we don't turn on lights. We don't turn off lights. We don't activate our electrical appliances, etc., on Shabbos. So any bell that is electric automatically is also to use. What about a mechanical bell? You can have literally the old-fashioned bell, a hammer and an anvil that bangs against each other and clangs and makes a loud noise, like we had on our trains and homes and things like that. What about using those? So that's a separate issue of making sounds in Shabbos. There's a issur of playing music on Shabbos, that's Shemi Yitakin Kleshir, that if a person plays music on Shabbos, we're afraid that the instrument that he uses might break and he might come to fix the instrument, which would involve an issur d'oraisa. For example, kosher, if you have a violin and a string breaks, you might have to make a knot in the string, so, or something like that, and therefore we have a rule that we don't play music on Shabbos because we're worried about you might come to make a repair. In truth, this halacha today, Tosfos is very meiko on. He says that's not the way we usually use our instruments. It's not so common, and we might have to bring it to someone else. We're not going to do it ourselves. And therefore, there's a tzad to be meiko, that if a person, the gabi making music, which comes out that, because as a an extension of that halacha, we say any noise making which would be rhythmic or using a utensil that is specifically made for that purpose would be also on Shabbos. Tosis is going to be more meiko. Therefore, when it comes to clapping or banging on a table or something like that, we mi'ik hadin is also, because it's anything rhythmic, would also be asur. There are those who are meiko based on the Tosis. But essentially, we're going to say mi'ik hadin. Making music is also on Shabbos, and any rhythmic noise or using a kli hamayuchad for that type of noise, a kli that has been set aside to making, will be also. Therefore, a bell fits into that second category, and that is that it is made to make noise. Based on this whole string of halachas, will come out that using a bell on Shabbos is forbidden. Now, it was common in the old shtetl that you had a person who was employed to wake everybody up. He was the original alarm clock, and he used to go around to people's houses and he'd knock on their windows and tell them to get up for the day and come to shul. And he would do this on Shabbos as well. And the Mishnah Berurah brings that what he used to use was a Shabbos knocker for Shabbos. Now, during the week, he had one utensil that he used in order to do his job. And on Shabbos, he had a different utensil, so he would have something which was set aside for Shabbos, which would make it then permissible to use. So, if you have a mechanical ringing system, a bell, we're going to say that it's also to use. But if you have one that is set up specially for Shabbos, according to that, one could use it on Shabbos because it's a special Shabbos bell. Which means that if you have a door knocker, I don't recall seeing one here in Eretz Yisrael, but I do remember a family in South Africa had one. It was a nice metal attachment to the front door that had a ring on it. You would lift the ring and let go, and it would swing back and make a nice, loud, echoing noise, which would then alert the family that someone's knocking at the door. So instead of using your knuckles, you use a door knocker. So that, again, is also to use because that is made to make a sound, which would mean that if you got up in a crowd and you wanted to speak and the people weren't listening, so you took a spoon and you tapped the side of your glass and the sound attracted people's attention, you got their attention, that would be mutter, because a spoon and a glass is not something that's made specifically for noise, and you're not using it to beat a rhythmic tune out of it. Therefore, it would be mutter to take a spoon and hit the side of a glass in order to get people's attention. So, let's make some seder again. To use an electric bell on Shabbos is out. To use a mechanical bell, we're going to say it's also asur. But were you to have installed a mechanical bell that would be for Shabbos only, there'd be a heter to use such a thing. And a door knocker is the chora asur. Now comes the question, what happens if you are in a dire situation? You were out. This might happen to teenagers. I mean, I can see it happening in my house. Parents go to bed, lock the front door, thinking that everybody's fast asleep, and one of your teenagers is at the neighbor's catching up on a conversation that they haven't finished from the previous days, and comes home and discovers the front door is locked, and everybody's sleeping. And now she knocks, knocks, and knocks, and knocks, and then you're in. And in the meantime, the friend has also gone to sleep, and everybody's gone to sleep, and now what, you're going to sleep in the staircase? So, if you would think that is a safe and healthy way to sleep, then you don't have much of an answer. But if you think that that's not a healthy way and fair way to sleep, then in such circumstances, a mechanical bell, which we said you may not use on Shabbos, in such a circumstance, you could use a mechanical bell. Not to get mixed up with it, we're giving a heter for an electric bell. No, that will always remain asur. But a mechanical bell, which we said, is based on the idea of Shem Yitak and Klei Shir, which Tosfos holds, doesn't apply today. So we treat it more as a chumrah. So instead, in extenuating circumstances, we'll allow someone to activate a mechanical bell if that's the only way they then get in or out of their apartment when necessary. I can't see it being very practical. I don't know anybody who has such a mechanical bell, but if you had a door knocker or something like that, then it would be an example of something which would be mutter to use in extenuating circumstances. Now here comes another interesting question. A person came to someone's door and habitually rang the bell. And while the bell button was still being depressed, they suddenly realized, oh, it shuts. I shouldn't ring the bell. Now the question is, do you let go of the bell? Well, not too common of a question, because the amount of time that we use to press the bell and let go is very short, and the time it takes us to become aware of what we've done sometimes takes a little bit longer, so very often you might only notice it after you rung the bell. But the question comes in, when you activate a spring-loaded circuit, at the moment you release the spring, the circuit now will go back to its original position. Can you let go of that spring on Shabbos? Because you've activated something, we're either by heter or by mistake, or whatever the case is, and now if you let go, you're going to change it back and do another malacha. Is that allowed on Shabbos? An interesting case where it's discussed in other circumstances is, what's the case over there? If you had, the Shabbos talks about if you had to go to do something for an emergency, oh, that's what. You went, Chas v'Shalom, Rahman al-Itzlan, you have an emergency in the house, and the phone's not working, so you ran out to the phone booth that was across the road. Obviously, not very practical in our day and age, because they've got rid of most of the public phones, but Lu Yitzur in those days, for example, to understand it, you had an emergency in the house, and the only phone available was the public phone booth that was across the road, and you ran to the public phone booth, and you opened the door, and when you opened the door, it was one of those phone booths that the light goes on, but the door is spring loaded. And so long as you're inside the phone booth, the light stays on. And the moment you leave, the light's going to go off. So you pick up the phone and you call Hatzalah. Hatzalah comes running. And now, what do you do? Do you get out of this phone booth? Because is that necessary for the emergency? Or do you stay in the phone booth? Because it's not necessary, and therefore, that's it. You can't let the light go off. So interesting what he brings over there. What to do in such a case is that if you're needed for the emergency, then obviously there's no question. You went to the phone booth, you call that Tzala, and now you leave the phone booth and go back home and deal with the emergency situation and guide that Tzala where it is, etc., etc. You're needed, so that's not a shayla. But what happens if you're not needed? There's someone else there. You were just the one sent to make the call, but that was your only purpose, and now stay out there. So we say that essentially you stay there. There's no hesitation to leave. What you could do is you could find out how the light is activated and maybe find a way to keep it working even if you leave. For example, some phone booths had a spring-loaded floor, and when you stood on the floor, so the weight activated the switch, and when you got off it, then the switch would then deactivate the light and switch it off. So you go get hold of a stone that's heavy enough to hold the floor into position. So even though stone's mukta, but you shouldn't cover the brias, if you don't have to stand in the phone booth for the next 23 and a half hours, you can go get a stone. The question is, how do you get a stone? You without leaving the phone booth, you could have to call someone passing by. Circumstances are obviously very important over here. And also we're going to say that it makes a big difference. Did this happen Friday night or did this happen close to Motzei Shabbos? If it was 20 minutes before Motzei Shabbos, so stay there 20 minutes, not the end of the world. If it happened on a Friday night, then you're going to have to find another Eitzah. Another Eitzah would be, as I said, get someone else to bring you a stone, if that would help, or get someone to switch places with someone. You stand there for an hour and get someone else to come in, and then you leave, and then later someone replaces him. You go through a rotational system like this. The light will stay on the whole Shabbos, but at least the person will have to stay there. Or get a goy to come. Get a goy, he should take your place. And he takes your place, he leaves the light on. Other guy doesn't understand, what do you want me here for? And he leaves. So that's his problem, it's not yours. You didn't ask him. So there will be another Eitzah. So that's where it's discussed in a little bit more in length. And over here, it's referred to look over there to see some Eitzahs. But essentially, it will be a similar idea. That when you put your finger on the bell, and now you remember Shabbos, can you take your finger off? Very possibly, no. You may not take your finger off. And you've got to have your finger on that bell for the next 23 hours. Which is going to be quite a interesting situation. Essentially, we'll say that one can actually, when it comes to a bell, one can take it off, because all you're doing is you're not doing active kibbuy. It is just not allowing the circuit to continue. Already, as I said in the introduction, electricity has two parts to it. Mitzal Echad is the boina of the chazanich, which we take on as a chumrah, and havara, where there is something that glows. In an electric bell, there's nothing that glows. It's only a chashash of the chazanish. And so it already is a nachshon tzich l'gufa, unless it's a manas livnois, which is a separate story. A mamela, when it comes to the situation where it's passive, what you're doing, and not like the light, you can let go. But what's more complicated is sometimes you have bells where the button that you press has a light on it. When you press the button, the light goes off, and the bell rings, and when you let go of the button, the light goes on again. Here you have much more of a shayla, because the light that goes on could be an incandescent form of bulb where there's a glowing filament, unless you know that you have a modern day bell switch which has an LED inside, so then we would return to what I said before. But otherwise we would say that you have a problem, that if you let go of the bell, the light's going to go on, then it will be a little bit more complicated. What he says in such a situation is to go consult with a local Orthodox rabbi to get a heter what to do, which is, again, if you're holding the bell, you can't really go ask the rabbi, but you have to send someone to go ask the rabbi what to do. There's also different types of bells, and I think the rabbi has to be well-versed in knowing the different types of bells. I would boil them down to three categories of bells. The old-fashioned simple bell was an electromagnet. But the moment you push the button, you activated the magnet. The magnet then attracted the hammer away from the cone that it was going to hit. But the problem was that the moment it attracted the hammer, that hammer swung across from its original position towards the magnet. It also caused a break in the circuit. that hammer was connected to part of the wiring, and as the moment it moves, it breaks the circuit. As soon as it breaks the circuit, the electromagnet goes off, and then the hammer is spring-loaded and returns to original position, thereby hitting the cone and going dong. But the moment that it goes back to its original position, the electromagnet will be reactivated by the closing of the circuit. And then it causes the hammer once again to swing towards the magnet and break the circuit and let go. And this happens very fast. And that's where you get this, which is on off, 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 on off. So if you let go, you're just, rather when you're holding, you've got a circuit that's going on and off and on and off and on and off and on and off. When you let go, you're stopping it from rebuilding and breaking. It would be better to let go than to hold it. That would be one type of bell, which the Rav will have to know to decide what to do. As I said, if it's no light involved, then let go. If there's light involved, it will be more complicated. The second type I remember seeing is where you have two metal plates that reverberate very loud, and you have a pin that moves from side to side. When you push the button for the bell, it creates an electromagnet which pulls the pin in one direction, and it hits the metal plate on the one side. And when you let go of the button, it deactivates the electromagnet, and the spring then sends the hammer back to the other side and hits the other plate. And that's where you get this bing, bong. You get a double sound because you get two different sized plates which give a different sound. So the bing is when the electromagnet goes off, and the bong is when it goes on, and the bong is when it goes off. So if you press and you let go, so then it's simple. You made the magnet, you broke the magnet. So again, could be that here it's not going to ring all day. Could be over here, the Rav will tell you, keep holding it because the circuit is in action. And there's nothing, it's not like a bell that's making a terrible noise, and it's not a circuit that's going on and off all the time. And if you let go, you're technically going to break the circuit. So also it would depend on the situation of how desperate a person is. If this happened on a Friday night, you're not intend to stand there all night. You'll find a hesitant to let go of it. But if it happened a few minutes before the end of Shabbos, then better he should hold his finger in place and stay there till Motzei Shabbos, and then you can let go and hear the second bong. And the third type, which I think is the simplest from a point of view of Shabbos, are the cordless bells, which have become more common today. If you hit a cordless bell, it just sends a signal, and your chime then goes and makes a nice song, or bing bong, or whatever you set it to do. But it sends a signal, and then when you let go, nothing happens. All it does is that when you press it, it activates the signal, and then from then on, nothing more happens. So you can for sure let go over there, because you're not going to cause any lights to go on. And even if they do have a light, they're for sure LED lights, and you're not going to cause any circuits to switch off, because they automatically switch off by themselves after a certain timing. Those ones, I would say, are the simplest. So if you press one of those buttons and remember it halfway through, you can let go without a problem. So essentially, bottom line, you press the bell, you remember before you let go that of Shabbos, unless there's a light involved, there could be a shaila of Havara, you can let go. That's what I would say. If you now got a light involved, so then you should consult a rabbi, get someone to consult the rabbi on your behalf on what to do, whether you can let go. And obviously he's going to take into account what time of day this is, what type of hit he's going to find. Okay, next was bells. Talking of entranceways, what about a door that sets off a ring? Have it often in stores. When you come in, bing bong, makes the owner jump up and offer you his services. Can one open such a door on Shabbos? The answer is nope. If it's an electric bell, obviously not. And if it's a mechanical bell, preferably not. And unless you're stuck in a situation, as we said, like we mentioned before, where you need to get into the house, so then you can rely on the make your shit so that you can make such a bell go off, especially since you're not interested in the sound, you just need to get into the house. Then you could be maker if it was mechanical. The best is obviously to, if you have this on your front door, if you have it in your shop, hopefully your shop is not open on Shabbos. If you have it on your front door, then, or if you have some sort of a mobile or a wind chime or something like that, then one should deactivate or disconnect it before Shabbos. And if you didn't, you may deactivate or disconnect it. As long as it's not electric, you can deactivate or disconnect it on Shabbos. because maximum it's mukta, which is a klish nafil isur, and you tzarech mekoyma, you need its place because you don't want it to ring. That's considered tzarech mekoyma, so you can move it out of place so that it shouldn't ring on Shabbos. Now, elevators. So, elevators, there are, let's call it three opinions, and I'll start with the most stringent opinion, and that is that an elevator of Shabbos, however it's built, whichever heterium you use, whichever technology you use, should not be used in Shabbos. That is the opinion of the Mishnah Karelitz, and I believe Rav Ozner, that it's considered zilus of the Shabbos, it's a type of opening the hole, it is not considered Shabbistic to get into an elevator, and therefore whatever heter you can find, that you haven't done any melachos, but it's not Shabbistic. And therefore there are some people who will never use Shabbos elevators in Shabbos based on that psak. You have the same type of idea. There are motorized, mobile, vehicles that people who have, who are limited in their mobility or have such a vehicle, like golf cart style vehicle that are electric and they want to use them on Shabbos. So there are ways that they've built them that the motor either alide groma, or they have them built that the motor is always active and all you do is you activate a mechanical brake in order to stop them, but the motor's always on. So you just release the brake to go and you activate the brake to stop, but the motor stays on. So what malach have you done? Nothing. Nevertheless, Rav Nissim Karelitz and those of his opinion are very against it because it's also the shabbos that this is not what one should be doing on Shabbos. That is the most machmir opinion. And that's where I'm going to start. That there are other opinions. Now I'm going to go to the opposite. The other extreme is Shlomo Zalman. It could even be Rabbi Eliashiv. That if the elevator is made in the right manner and fashion, then it can be used in Shabbos. And the middle opinion is you can only use it for going up and not going down. Not to do with the fact that whether it's easier to go up or easier to go down, but rather there are certain elevators that the way they are built is that in the down manner, they generate electricity. When they go down, you generate electricity, and therefore you're more involved in powering all the lights that are in your vicinity because that electricity, although it goes back into the grid, lechayre affects the immediate vicinity first, and therefore it could be that it's powering up the lights that are in the elevator, the lights that are around the elevator, etc., and that would be a problem. But Shlomo Zalman wasn't choshish for it. I feel that this was an issue. It's not a direct melacha that you're doing. And could very well be that the elevators that he gave a heter to, I know personally, my wife's grandmother lived in the building near Shlomo Zalman in Shara Chesed, where they installed a Shabbos elevator, and they called Shlomo Zalman to look at it, and he studied it, and said that he needs some adjustments, and he gave instructions on what to do, and once they did those changes, he gave his heter for them to use it. So I know of a case where he actively gave a heter for people to use an elevator on Shabbos, a Shabbos elevator. And as I said, it depends a lot also on the way elevators are built. The common design of an elevator is you have a cage where the people will go in and you have a counter. The cage itself weighs quite a bit, and therefore to move an empty cage in order to come to the right floor is going to use energy. So what you do is you use a counterweight. So therefore the actual moving of the cage uses a very small amount of energy. In fact, the counterweight is slightly heavier than the cage itself, so that when you have people inside, it makes it even easier to move. Because the average is an average elevator, if it's either running empty or with one person inside, so you have a counterweight that is, say, the weight of one person, then generally, at least when it's got one person inside, it's even. When it's got two people inside, then it's only one person's extra weight, and when it's empty, it's also one person's extra weight. That way, the engineers have designed it that you use the minimum amount of electricity, which is interesting. I know someone who has a Shabbos elevator in his building, and his neighbors complained that it was wasting electricity. So he said, "Well, I'm an engineer. I'll work it out for you." And he worked it out that it's costing him about less than a shekel for a whole Shabbos. The amount of electricity that the elevator was using, he had it on a time switch, and it ran basically. Time he went to shul and one time he came back from shul, it was costing literally an agora or two agora per half hour or something like that. It was like ridiculously little. So taking that into account, one of the discussions of an elevator on Shabbos is when you load the elevator with people, you're putting a strain on the motor. Putting a strain on the motor is going to be using more electricity. Is that an issue? So interestingly enough, most pasim hold that it's not an issue. The fact that there's an increase in demand of electricity in order to power the elevator, the fact that you're there, that's an indirect increase. The motor's going to go on and just work the way it needs. What maybe you've done is that in the generating station, you're going to have to burn more fuel in order to supply more electricity. But that also is the pasim say is irrelevant because the electricity is generated at such a enormous output that the minor change in usage of your motor, whether it's loaded or unloaded, is so insignificant that they're never going to affect anything that's doing, because they're anyway charging electricity based on an average, because everybody's turning on and off appliances at all times, and things are going off and things are going on your fridge or every minute. I mean, every minute, or every while the motor goes on, the motor goes off, the air conditioning goes on. Even on Shabbos, when you're not touching things, there are things that consume more, consume less. So even if they weren't Machale Shabbos, Rahman Islam, who were using electricity and switching things, even everything that we have, there's things going on and going off. And therefore, it is totally insignificant, and therefore, that's everybody agrees, not an issue. Therefore, bottom line, I would say, is as follows. One should consult one's local Rav as to how he passes the use of an elevator, whether he holds a Shlom Zalman, that once it is set up correctly, you can use it, or does he go the other opinion, like with Mr. Karelitz, that one should never use. Even a Rav will take into account, usually, depending on the circumstances and the necessity to leave the house and what you're going for, is a tzarich mitzvah, how old you are, how immobile you are. Perhaps he'll say that young people who can use the stairs should not rely on an elevator, older people should. That is for a rov to decide based on circumstances. Then obviously the rov is going to take into account how the elevator was built, who gave a heksher to the elevator, because there are many factors involved in making sure that the elevator has the right engineering and right setup for Shabbos, and therefore the bottom line, as I said, is go ask Rav to see whether he allows Bichlal to use, and the one in particular, don't take it as a cross the board heter, because each elevator needs a heksher on it to know how it was designed and how it was set up for Shabbos. If you are going to be using a Shabbos elevator, you go to a hospital, a hotel, and there's a sign up that the elevator is done with a good heksher, reliable heksher. One has to remember that one should never touch any of the buttons and not activate anything. And therefore, when getting into the elevator, there's an electronic eye that sees whether someone is in the doorway so that the door can close or not. That electronic eye is disabled on Shabbos so that you don't affect it at all. But just before it moves off to the next floor, it goes on again just so they make sure that it doesn't close the door on someone. So what happens is they put a sound. It starts to beep. The beep warns you that now the circuitry is going into effect. The doors are going to close and the elevator is going to move off. So the moment the sound comes on, make sure you're not caught in the doorway. Get out, get in, whatever it is. Don't move anymore from when the sound comes on, because in the next second or two, the electronics are going to be activated and the elevator is going to move off. One has to know these things, that if one's going to use an elevator, how to use. Couple of other points about elevators. What would be if you're in a place where there's no Shabbos elevator, but there's a guy who's using an elevator? Can you join him for the ride? The most poskim hold that if you are joining him for the ride that he's taking anyway, not that he's doing it for you, and you don't ask him to press any buttons, and you get in when he gets in, and you get out when he gets out, that means he's not stopping the elevator at a separate floor for you, then there's no problem for you to use an elevator at the same time as a goy. That means that if you're in a hotel and you see a goy, obviously it's a goy, he presses the button, so you can stay and wait and see what he does. When he goes in, you go in, and when he goes out, you go out. That's fine, as long as he's not doing it for you. Also, you have to be careful that you go in pretty much at the same time that he doesn't go out, but pretty much the same time that he does, because again, there is an electronic eye on the door, and you don't want to be the one to affect the circuit, and therefore the doors are not going to close, because you're standing in the way. If a Mechal Shabbos uses an elevator, one may not have Hanah from it, and you may not join him. If you're doing Avera anyway, you may not join him, even if he does it for himself and not for you. As for escalators or moving floors like you have in the airport, hopefully no one gets into the situation to be caught in the airport on Shabbos. Major problems over there. You can't even use the bathroom, because most of the bathrooms there, the flushing and the taps and everything work with electronic eyes, which is also to activate in Shabbos. But if you have an opportunity for whatever reason to get onto an escalator, one may get onto an escalator if it's a more old-fashioned type, which is always active, always running. There are elevated escalators that slow down when they're out of use or even stop. And the moment it senses the person coming close, it activates the motor and then starts running at the normal speed. So then obviously you're not allowed to activate it. And if you're that type, you cannot use Chabas. But were you to be in a situation where one is running and active and up and going, nothing happens when you get on, then it would be permissible to get on to such a thing, and it has less problems elevated.